you can lock me up in a prison and throw away the key. Take away the vision from these eyes that now can see. Deprive me of the food I eat, even bind my hands and my feet. But as long as I know Jesus, well, then I can still go free. He said that I could still go free. Tell me what kind of a man would reach out his hand and do so unworthy to live, not fit to kill. But the man on the cross put me in his will, said that I could still go free. Now I never could quite understand why Jesus would leave his throne, put on the robe of an earthly man, then feel the pain of flesh and bone, then laid a trunk along some path that led to Calvary, where the blood red stain all the chains, so that I could still go free. He said that I could still go free. Tell me what kind of a man would reach out and do this for me. So unworthy to live, I was not fit to kill. But the man on the cross put me in his will, said that I could still go free.
Amen.
2 Kings in the 4th chapter. Make sure you can still hear me out there, because I can really hear myself now up here. So sometimes it makes me not talk as loud when I hear myself up here. Make sure you can hear me out there. Amen. 2 Kings, the 4th chapter, and verse number 1. It says, "Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, "Thy servant, my husband, is dead. And thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord. And the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen." And Elisha said unto her, "What shall I do for thee?" What can I do? Says, "Tell me, what hast thou in the house?" See, so often people want somebody else to do it for them. So he said, "What can I do?" He said, "What have you got?" And she said, "Thy handmaiden hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil." Then he said, "Go." It's a familiar word, isn't it? "Borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels. Borrow not a few. And when thou art come in, thou shalt," say it, "shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shalt pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full." So she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, and who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, "Bring me yet a vessel." And he said unto her, there's not a vessel more. And the oil, what? Stayed. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, "Go sell the oil and pay thy debt, and live thou and thy children of the rest." Let us pray. Father, we thank you this morning for who you are most of all. We ask today, Father, that you would touch our hearts this morning to receive what you have prepared for us upon this table that we set before. Help us to eat it and digest it into our souls, God. Father, that it would help us in our everyday walk with you and with others. In Jesus' name, we love you and praise you. Amen. First of all, he said to, after he told them to go out and borrow these empty vessels, and he said, "Borrow not a few." In other words, borrow many. He told them to come in and shut the door upon them. The reason why being, there would be no doubt someone curious of why they're bringing all these empty vessels in their house. What they want? What are they doing? What are they up to? And someone would peer into the door and look and say, "I'm going to take this little pot of oil and I'm going to fill all them vessels up." And they say, "What? That's an idiot. You can't do that." Amen? And would convince her not to proceed. But when she shuts the door, it shuts out doubt. And we're talking about me and you today. When God instructs us to do something, we need to shut the door of doubt and keep it out. Because to the world, everything God tells you to do is going to be foolishness to them. But to God, it's the power of God, amen, working in our lives. The enemy would tell you that you could not be successful in the things of God, or you could not live a Christian life. The devil would come along and try to influence you to do his way of doing contrary to what God would have, because he would love to drag you into hell. Amen. He asked the woman, like we ask so many people that come in need, and we ask them, "What do you have?" You know? And she answered, like so many, "I don't have anything save or except this little pot of oil. That's all we got. We don't have anything. We don't have enough." It kind of reminds me of Moses when Moses was called up onto the mountain, or, you know, his curiosity drove him there. And he's here on this mountaintop, and the bush is burning that's not consumed. And God begins to talk with him, and he tells him, "I want you to go down to Egypt and tell Pharaoh, let my people go." And Moses looked at him and said, "Who am I that I should go before Pharaoh?" And that's what we all say. Well, who am I that I should do that, you know? Well, if God were to answer Moses back, you know, the way I probably would, "You're nothing but a hunk of dumb clay. that I have made. Amen. If you want to know really how much we are without God, we're nothing but a hunk of clay. Amen. But when we come to God and God touches us and God flows through us, my friend, we become an anointed vessel that God can use for His glory. Amen. It's kind of like if I'd have brought a power saw in here, like a skill saw, and I had it up here on the stage, and the extension cord run out here to it, and it was not plugged in. When I plugged it in, it would bring power to that switch. Now, so often we try to go through life and we're trying to do it without allowing the power to flow through us. But once we turn on our wheel, mash that button, and power starts flowing through that motor of that saw, it starts turning that blade real fast, does it not? And man, you can cut some lumber with it, can't you? Amen. Now, most of the time through life, we just stand there and without mashing the switch or without plugging into the power, and we're trying to cut a board with the skill saw with no power, and we look foolish. To God, we would, huh? But once we allow God's power to flow through us, then that's what gives us the ability to accomplish what we was designed to do. You see, that circular saw is designed to cut wood and cut lumber. And once you allow that power to flow through it, it can accomplish what it was designed to do. And it's the same way in mine in your life. Until we allow it to flow through us, just coming to us is not enough. We've got to allow it to flow out of us into others. And when we do that, we can accomplish what God has called us to do. Amen. Amen. I ask you this morning, are we like this lady that says, I don't have anything except a pot of oil? Are we like Moses and who am I that I should go before Pharaoh? What do you say? Look at the one next to you and say, what do you say? When God asks you to do something, what do you say? You say, who, me? I don't have anything. Amen. Is that what we do? It says in Luke's gospel in the 17th chapter in verse 20. It says, and when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation. Neither shall they say, lo here or lo there, for behold. Now, behold is an asterism. That means it would say like this, for lo here or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. He got their attention. He said, the kingdom of God is within you. Don't say that hey, he's over there, or he's over that church, or he's out there, and if I could just do this, if I could just have this, if I could get this much money, if I could do this, if I could go to this school. My friend, it's not in a school. The kingdom of God is within you. You have the ability this morning to do everything God has called you to do. Amen. Everything God has is within you. He said the kingdom of God is within you. That means everything that God has, the ability is within you to do what God has called you to do. The day he saved you, the day you was born, did he not say to Jeremiah, he said, before I formed thee in the womb, I knew thee and I called thee and I ordained thee a prophet to the nations. He put within him the kingdom of God. The power is there. We just got to turn it on. Amen. It says in Romans in the 10th chapter, verse 6, it says, but the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into the heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. Amen. It is within us. The ability to do what God has called us is within us. When God calls you, he said in John 15, 16, he said, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and I have ordained you. I have put within you the kingdom of God. I have put within you everything you need to accomplish what I've called you to do. Amen. Glory to my God. Are y'all with me this morning? Again in Luke 17, 21, Neither shall they say, lo here, lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. What did he say? Nothing shall be impossible unto you, to them that believe. Them that act upon the kingdom of God is within you. You got to understand the seed of miracle is in you. Amen? You see, I can count the seeds in an apple. It's like five, isn't it? But I can't count the apples in a seed. There's some ability in you. And you can't count the miracles that's in you. It's a seed that God put in there. And in a seed, there's miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle. Glory to God. Look at the one next to you. Said, there's a seed of miracle in you. We look at John's gospel, the fourth chapter. We see that Jesus was pouring into this woman at the well. Amen. This little Samaritan woman at the well, pouring into her. Amen. That's what he did. He came, he waited on the well for her to come. And she came and he began to pour into her empty vessel. Jesus had the kingdom of God in him, did he not? And what was he doing? He was pouring of the oil of God into this woman. That's what we do when we witness to people. We're taking a little bit of what we have of God and we're emptying it over. That's what I'm doing to you this morning. I came in this morning full of God and I'm pouring it over into you this morning. Amen. That's what we do when we witness to people. We're pouring things into you. I ask you, what do you pour into your friends every day? You tell them some old dirty joke? You're pouring that into them? Come on. You're pouring the things of God. You're pouring something. It says in John's gospel in the fourth chapter, verse 14, when he's talking to this lady, and he says to her, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him, see, he's pouring in, shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water. What's that word? Springing up into everlasting life. Now see, this thing is to continually flow. Amen. You know, they're trying to stop that flow that they got started out in the Gulf down there, don't they? I mean, there's some pressure down on there somewhere. That's the way we ought to be like the earth. We're made out of the dust of the earth. There ought to be so much of the pressure of God in us we can't keep. I can't shut up. That's what Jeremiah said when he said, I won't speak no more. And he sat down and I can't stop. There's pressure. And I got to get it out. Amen. Glory. A little further in John, though, look what he said in the 7th chapter of John, verse 37. In the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come to me and drink. And he that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall, what's that word? Flow. 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 Everybody say flow. Flow. Rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit to which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. So there's this flow that should be coming from us, that we should be filling emptied vessels, if you will. Amen? Empty vessels. In this story over here in the Old Testament, when you bring it to the New Testament, these are vessels. Our bodies are vessels. Our lives are vessels. When we see people, they're vessels. And there's a lot of empty vessels out there. And God has put in us rivers of living water that should flow out of us and fill every empty vessel around. Now, as that woman was pouring, it never ran out. I'm persuaded to believe if she would kept bringing vessels, they would still be pouring from that pot today. Amen? But you see, they quit bringing the vessels, and so the oil stopped. Did it not? Amen. It says, rivers of living water. Now, I could maybe understand a little spring springing up. And you're not doing very much work. But let me tell you, a river of, come on, a river's big. We're going to see something getting happening. Amen. In other words, don't come tell me that you have the baptism of the Holy Ghost and ain't no river flowing out of you. I don't want to hear it. Don't tell me you got the baptism of the Holy Ghost and I come to you to teach a class and you said, no, I don't feel led. Don't you tell me that. Don't you tell me that you don't witness to somebody every day, amen, and try to fill an empty vessel. If you got the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you ought to not be able to shut up. Don't come tell me these things. I'll tell you, you have no Holy Ghost. Amen. Or oh me. He said, he's talking about a flowing. Well, I tell you this morning, if you're not flowing, then you quit pouring. And the oil stayed. Amen. The oil stayed. That word stayed means to tarry. It means to stop growing. You see, when you quit pouring, when you quit flowing, you quit growing. Amen. You stop increasing in your walk with the Lord, and you become, when anything stops flowing, it becomes stagnant. Amen. I'm persuaded to believe there's a lot of stagnated people in the church world. If you're not flowing, you're stagnant. Stagnant just simply means not running or flowing. That's what stagnant means. You thought, Brother Dave, I thought stagnant's when the water had all kind of algae and it began to stink. No, that's part of it. But if you're not flowing, you're stagnant. In other words, you're starting to produce algae and you're going to be stinking. Amen? That's why you see some people in the church world and they just be around them. Their personality is stinking. It's because they're not flowing. Amen. Or owe me one. It means stagnant means not running. It means not flowing. It means not active. It means sluggish, dull. It starts to grow algae, which represents sin, and it gets impure. The water becomes impure. It's kind of like the manna there with Israel out there in the wilderness. And when they would not use up the manna that they got that day, what would happen the next day? It would breed worms and it would begin to stink. Amen. But you see, flowing water will be more pure. Huh? The Word of God is like water. And the more water we got and flowing through us, and the water flowing through us, and we're being doers of the Word and not hearers only, we'll be purified by the Word, amen, by the washing of the water, by the Word. But when we take the water of the Word and we put in us and not be a doer of the Word, we allow the Word become stagnant, and the same Word that brings life will bring death. In the wilderness, the manna, the same manna that brought life, brought death. The same Word that I preach to you that you get excited about. If you just hear it and get it in you and don't do anything with it, that same Word will condemn you to death. Amen. That's Bible. Mark 16th chapter tells you that. It says, listen. It says in Luke's Gospel, 13th chapter. Then said he, unto what is the kingdom of God like? You know, this kingdom of God that's in me, what's it like? Give me something to compare it to. And whereunto shall I resemble it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and cast into his garden, and it grew and waxed a great tree. And the fowls of the air lodged in the branches of it. Wow. Again, he said, whereunto shall I liken the kingdom of God? This is Jesus. It is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal till the whole was leavened. In other words, if we have the kingdom of God in us, we are to be like that jailer that Paul talked about. He said, you can be saved and your household. Because Paul knew that he was pouring the kingdom of God into that jailer, and that jailer was going home and going to win his household, because my friend, he's a flowing river. Amen. And he should leaven his whole family. In other words, if we have whatever you're around, that's what you'll become. And if someone is around you and you're a Christian and you have a river of water flowing out of you, they can't help to become a Christian too. That you will leaven them into the kingdom of God, because it's in you. Now, most of the time when you get saved, your friends will start leaving you, and you'll have to find other friends because they don't want that part. And they get away from you before that gets on them. Amen. He said the seed is in this tree. It says the grain of a mustard seed, which man took and he put in the garden, and it grew into a great tree. So the kingdom of God is like this seed, which becomes a tree, which produces fruit, which produces more seed. Amen. In other words, that I might talk to someone and pour the kingdom of God in them. Amen. And then they go and pour the kingdom of God into two people. And then those two people pour it into two more. And it just keeps going. The seed is in the fruit. See, when you pour into someone, that is your fruit putting seed in them. And that seed will grow and mature them that they can bear fruit and carry seed to someone else. Amen. The tree bears the fruit, and the fruit bears the seed. Amen. James in the 5th chapter, verse 7, talks about the precious fruit of the ground. Well, why is the fruit precious, Brother David? Why is fruit so precious? Because the fruit bears the seed in it. That's why fruit is so precious. That's why we should be bearing fruit. Because our fruit is precious. Because it has seed in it that brings life to someone else. That brings life to someone. Our works and our words going into the heart of men plant seed into them. And that seed will grow. Hallelujah. That's why our fruit is precious. Precious fruit of the ground. Why fruit is precious? It bears the seed. The tree, a tree that's not fruitful, can bear no seed. Amen. Nothing to carry on. A tree, though it has the kingdom of God in it, that bears no fruit, there's nothing to carry on. See, what if my mom and dad had died and never been fruitful and never planted seed in their children? Why, this church may not be here today. But praise God that they bared fruit and they planted seed. And praise God that I hope that I can bear fruit and plant seed, that when I one day go, someone else will be here bearing fruit and planting seed. Pouring into empty vessels. Glory. You say, well, Brother David, I don't want to pour out into someone. I might lose what I got. No, that's the way to get more. Because the same measure you measure out, Luke in the 6th chapter, verse 38, give and it shall be given to you, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom. But the same measure that you mete out shall be measured unto you again. As you're pouring out, God's pouring in. Amen. But once we quit pouring, God quits pouring. Didn't it stay? Didn't the vessel, didn't the pot oil? That didn't say that it ran out. It just stopped flowing. See, the pot of oil was God. And he has abundant supply. He never runs out like the meal in the widow's barrel. Never runs out. He says, Matthew's Gospel, the 21st chapter, verse 43. He said, therefore, say unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given unto a nation that bringeth forth the fruits thereof. I ask you this morning, are you using your calling to the best of your ability that's in you? I ask you this morning, are you using your calling to the very best of your ability? Well, if not, what will transpire that God can take that calling from you and give it to somebody else? That's what he did to Israel. Israel didn't accept it. And what did he do? He took that from the kingdom of God, from them, and give it to the Gentiles. Because they was not doing anything with it. Remove your candlestick. Amen. God ain't playing. Luke's Gospel in the 13th chapter, verse 6, he says, and he spake this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit thereon and found none.
And he said to the dresser of his vineyard, "Behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree and find none. Cut it down. Why cumbereth the ground? Why trouble the ground?" And he answered and said to him, "Lord, let it alone this year also till I dig about it and dung it. And if it bear fruit, well. And if not, then I shall cut it down." I ask you this morning, maybe we need to do a little digging around our roots. Amen. If we're not bearing fruit, my friend, we're not casting forth any seed. And when we die, it'll die with us. Our family will not know any more about God. Come on, our friends. What impact are we making on our city here? On the ones we come in contact daily. Amen? What impact are we making? What are we telling our children and our grandchildren and our friends? What are we telling them? Are we just like a dried up well? We never mention anything about God? My goodness, you're going to let them go to hell? Come on now. Get with me. I hope not. He says, what he say? He said, if you're not bearing any fruit, he said, cut it down. That someone interceded. Let me kind of dig around it and dung it a little bit, put a little juice in it, you know, see if I can help it. Let me work with it. I mean, it's a shame that we get that situation sitting on church pews. I see people backslide sitting on church pews. That's bad, isn't it? He said, "Brother Dave, I thought your preacher ought to take and keep them alive. You must not be much of a preacher." Well, if you don't do anything with what we say, it don't do a bit of good. If it goes in one ear and out the other, if you never act on it, don't matter who you can have Jesus talking yourself. And it said many of his disciples departed from him and walked with him no more. They was once his disciples. The story here in Mark's Gospel, 11th chapter, verse number 12, it says, "On the morrow when they came from Bethany, he was hungry." Jesus was hungry. "And he see a fig tree afar off and having leaves on it, he came if haply he might find anything on it." Now, get a picture of him now, you know. Here he goes. He's walking with the disciples, some of them. And he looks up there and he sees that fig tree had leaves on it, and it should have fruit on it because it's saying, "I'm a fig tree. Come eat of my fruit." That's what it's saying. It's like we go around, "I'm a Christian, but bear no fruit." And Jesus, happily, he got ahead of him, ran on up there. Said, "What do you get up there for?" He said, "I want to get them figs for more hungry guys got there. Get me some figs." But he got there, and there was no fruit on it. He found, when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves. For the times of figs was not yet. And Jesus answered and said unto it, "No man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever." And his disciples heard it. Wow. They're going into the temple and in there teaching and talking in the temple there until about morning time. Verse 20 it says, "And in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots." Wow. Sound like many today, don't it? "And Peter, calling to remembrance, said unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursed is withered away." Is that some today? They bear no fruit. They come and they have the pot of oil in them, but they're doing nothing with it. They're not trying to fill other vessels. Amen? They're not being fruitful as a tree should be and bear forth seed. They're not carrying on. They're not doing, not being a doer of the word. And what happens? They become cursed. And they begin to wither. And you see them. I've seen them. I've been in church a long time. I've seen people come in and get excited about God. And boy, start doing a work. And so excited, tears running down their face. And praise God, the Holy Ghost moving them. Gifts of the Holy Ghost working in them. And then they start quit doing. And they sit down on God and they begin to wither and dry up at the roots and sit there like an old dried up prune. You ever seen any of them? Boy, they can be miserable around. That's a bad place to be. Amen. Simply because we're not being fruitful, not pouring out of the kingdom that's within us. Everyone, you know, there's enough of the kingdom of God in this building right here to save Somerville. And every one of us, if we would all do what God has placed in us, I guarantee you next Sunday this place would be packed in here. But I venture to say it would probably look about like it looks this morning. Come on. I said us in that. I didn't say you. I said us. Don't get mad. Be glad. What did he say? Go borrow. Empty vessels. That's what he said. And he said, borrow not a few. In other words, borrow many. They limited God. We limit God. We limit God. She limited God. When they only brought X number in. They could have kept bringing them in. And it would still be pouring today. So we limit God by our refusal to do many and to bring many or much. It says go borrow. That word borrow is interesting. Borrow means to ask. I'm almost finished. Listen. Borrow means to ask. It means to beg. It means to demand. To desire earnestly. To require. It's pretty good. It says go out there and ask for vessels. And beg for vessels, empty vessels. Go out there and beg them, desire them. Desire. When you desire something, my friend, ain't nothing satisfied till you get it. Come on, we all got kid in us. Mama, I want that. Mama, I want that. Huh? That borrow reminds me of another word over the New Testament called compel. See, doesn't it? Compel means to necessitate. It is necessary that I talk with you today. It means to constrain, to bend an arm. When's the last time you bent somebody's arm to get them to church? The way we do it is we do it with a negative. You don't want to come to church, do you? They go agree with you, no. When's the last time you have bent someone's arm to get them? That's what he said. Come on. To bend their arm, force them, constrain them, compel them, beg them. Luke's gospel, put it up, next scripture. And the Lord said unto his servant, go out into the highways and hedges and what? Compel them to come in that my house may be filled. To go out there with the kingdom of God in you and pour into them and compel them and beg them and get them here. He said, well, brother, even getting them to church won't get them saved. Well, carrying them to a beer joint won't get them drunk either. But you'll stand a better chance of getting drunk in the beer joint than you will just out anywhere else. Amen. And it's the same way of coming to church. Coming to church won't get them saved. But you'll stand a far better chance of getting them saved in church than out of church. Amen. So what do? We just casually drop a little hint. Sure, we'd like to see you at church one of these days. Why not next Sunday? Why not Wednesday night? Why not tonight? Set a date. Stay on, hound them like a hound dog. Stay on them. Else when you're looking over in the casket at them, you'll wish to God you had a... don't take no for an answer. How many has got, you don't have to raise your hands. How many has got children that's lost today? How many has got loved ones that's lost today? You don't have to raise your hand. Just think about it. How many has got some real good friends? Let me rephrase that. Do you know somebody that's close to you want to see to go to hell? You want them to go to hell. Well, you're doing your part if you're not pouring into them. They're an empty vessel waiting for someone to come pour into them. It says, Jesus poured into this woman at the well. It says, Casey, can y'all come to the instruments? Jesus poured into this woman in John's Gospel, 4th chapter. And it says, the woman left her water pot. That water pot represents her old empty life. It's good for nothing.
She left that water pot and went home with the well. She went home with this well springing up in her. And she went her way into the city and said unto the men, come see a man which told me all that I ever did. Is it not this Christ? See, she went with the kingdom of God and the pressure would not stop. And she had to tell him, you gotta come see this man that told me everything I did see. Wow. What if she had gone like so many Christians today back to town? Huh? Glory. I went online last night. I was just messing around. Pulled up a church. Preacher gets up in his blue jeans and an old shirt hanging out on a Sunday morning. He's got this new modern stuff, you know. That's good. I love modern stuff. Had this. He's on the internet on this big book that he had. And then he put it on the screen, showed. He said, let's see what all the other sites got. He's talking about his church locations, satellite churches. Just watching him on the screen do this, sitting there. And he says, let's see what they're doing over here. Let's see what they're doing at this church. This and Somerville and this others. Pulled up different ones, what they was doing. One of them was men's poker night. Oops, that's what he said. Ladies was something, I don't remember what it was. I said, maybe I get into preaching a little bit. And I kept fast forwarding. Thousands of people. Sister kind of said, Brother Dave, you're just not with it. You're just not with it. See, he offers them all kind of things to do. Little programs. And you can do this and do that. You do this and do that. Now, I guess it's all good. But what has a man gained if he gained the whole world and lose his soul? I mean, you could talk to some of... I mean, he was reading out of some book. I don't have a clue what it is. It's weird. I'm sure he's calling it a Bible. It's weird. It says, but they are going out and say, come see this church we go to. Why? You just come as you are and leave as you were. Just live any kind of way you fit in. And they just going by leaps and bounds. Come see a man that told me all I ever did do. Then they, verse 30, went out of the city and came to him. Verse 39, and many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman. She was pouring into them. That's all she was doing. You just got to know this Lord that I serve. When's the last time I did a funeral Friday? I didn't know the man. Didn't know his wife. They're from Texas. Knew a couple of family members. And I didn't know much to say about the man, but I knew what to say about the Lord. And I began to talk, and man, tears come in my eyes. And I look down here on the front, and tears in this guy's face. I don't know about the others. We need to pour from our heart. It's in our heart. You know what's in your heart. You know you want them to go to heaven, don't you? Pour into those vessels. It says, verse 40 says, that when the Samaritans were coming to him, they besought him that he would tarry with them. And he abode there 2 days, and many more believed because of his own word, because he was pouring into them. When's the last time you poured into someone and you got them saved?
You know, if we were all apples in here today, and we had five seed in us, and we plant them seeds, and years down the road they ask how many apple trees came from us, and we'd say none, because we never planted those seeds, how bad would it be? When's the last time you have really witnessed to somebody the way you should? When's the last time you took? You have something in you. I don't care if you got saved. If you get saved this morning, you'll have the kingdom of God in you, and you have the ability to pour into someone else. That woman went straight from Jesus to the town and poured into them and brought the town back to Jesus. And we're like that pot of oil, and we have enough that we can fill every vessel. You're not going to run out. The way to get more and fresher is to pour out what you got. Don't let it get stagnant within you. What did Peter and John on that morning going into the temple? They stopped there and there was an empty vessel there. That man seeking silver and gold. And Peter looked at him and said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, let me pour what I got over in you." And he poured it into him and brought something that man. The Bible's full of examples of men pouring into others. We are on stage now, and it's our turn to pour in someone. And I challenge every one of us this week to find somebody, whether it's in our own family, somebody to pour into. He said, "Open your mouth and I'll fill it. I'll fill it." Find somebody to pour into the goodness of God. Change their life. Change their life. Come on, stand with us. Father.